from Bass Hole Studios in Hollywood, California.
Yo, what time is it?
You're listening to I'm a Bass Hole with Doug Bass. We've all been one.
He's an asshole.
So let's laugh about it. Now, here's your host, Doug Bass.
Hey everyone, welcome to I'm a Bass Hole. My name is Doug Bass. This is the podcast. I'm your host. Look, we've all been an a-hole. By bass hole, I mean asshole. It's synonymous. So let's laugh about it. This is the show where guests come on. They talk about a time in their life that they may have been an a-hole. And we pick them apart. We interview them. It's all in good fun. It's usually funny, mostly funny, sometimes therapeutic. Sometimes not, which is okay because that's life, you know? Make sure you follow us on IG at Bass Hole Show. Subscribe to the YouTube channel where the full video experience is available for you. And of course, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix. And by fix, it's like doing heroin, you know? It's a fix. You need to really just get that podcast juice into your system. Yeah. All right. That was weird. But, you know what I mean? If you've been addicted to something, you should be addicted to this and just fucking subscribe. OK, that's all I'm asking you to. I'm doing well. No, I'm not doing well, actually. I'm doing OK. Doing OK. This week has been a little crazy. I, for some reason, dealing with a little bit of bank fraud. Bank fraud is what I'm dealing with. I had a lot of money stolen out of my bank account, not my bank account. Let's be honest. My unemployment account. Look, we were on unemployment during the pandemic, right? Anyway, I saved some of this money for an emergency because emergencies happen. And I left it in this account for longer than I should have. And now all of a sudden there's like almost $10,000 missing. Yes. I have $10,000, or I did have $10,000. Now I don't. So I'm $10,000. It's actually not even $10,000. It's $9,999 someone stole from my unemployment EDD money, which is fucked up because, you know what? We're artists and we are trying to survive here, and I was trying to save that money for an emergency. And now I have an emergency. And the emergency is that I don't have this money anymore. So I went in and I transferred $1 in my, you know, I was trying to transfer this money out of this account, and I transferred $1 to my personal account just to test it. Cause I didn't trust the system. I was like, let me test transferring $1 before I transfer more dollars. So I did the $1 and then it worked. And then I didn't sign in for like a week. And then I went back in and signed in, and there were like three transactions totaling $9,999 transferred to some other account, which wasn't mine. And now it's missing into the ether or wherever. And like, you know, no one knows where it went. And they're like, well, you didn't transfer. I'm like, they told me that I called in and changed my email address to some email address at an AOL account that, look, I haven't used AOL since high school. Who has used AOL? Who uses AOL still? How are they still functioning or in business? Anyway, they changed my email address to an AOL.com address, which was not mine. And they transferred all this money to some other account. And now I'm in a claim war of trying to figure out where this money went. I had to file a police report, all this shit. So whoever did that is an asshole. And I am not happy. I'm not happy about it at all. It's pissing me off, you know? And I realize, you know, I might sound petty right now. I don't know. I know there's people that don't have that amount of money in general, which I totally understand. I was once there, but then, you know, I had this money and I was like, well, this is going to be emergency money if I need it for something. And now it's not there again. So it's like, you know what? People are like, you worked this long for this amount of money. You saved 10 grand. I didn't work a lot for that money. Did not work at all for that money, but it was there. It was there because it was mine. I paid taxes on it. I paid fucking taxes on it. So now someone is getting this money tax-free, which is more of a problem, I think, because I'm more annoyed that I paid taxes on this money and I don't even have access to the money. So that's what I'm dealing with this week. This week, I'm dealing with that. And I'm sorry if I'm an asshole, if I sound like an asshole, if I'm complaining about 10 grand missing, dollar short of 10 grand missing from my account, that money I didn't really even earn, I guess, makes me an asshole. But you know what? That's why the pandemic money was there, because artists like us weren't able to work fully during the pandemic. And I was being smart about it. I saved it. I was like, no, this is, I'm not going to blow it all on, you know, drugs or, you know, the bar or whatever. And I was like, let me be smart about this for once in my life. Let me be smart about saving this money and maybe investing it or using it for something good at one point. And now the system has fucked me. It really has fucked me. And I'm trying to figure it out. But you know what? My health is good. And I have faith in the system that it will work its way out the way it's supposed to. And if it doesn't, then I'm going to fucking sue. No, I don't know. I might. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to come back on here and complain about it, that I'm $10,000 less than what I had. But look, it's a lot of money. It's not like there's $100 missing from my account. It's $9,999, which is $1 less than a federal crime committed. So whoever did this was like knowing what they were doing. They were smart about it. I give them credit for that, but I do not give them credit. So stay tuned. We'll see what happens. Anyway, all right, look, that is my rant for now. We have a great show today. My guest today is comedian Rachel D. Rachel D is a comic. She performs all over the place. If you don't know her work, you should get familiar with her work, because she's super funny, she's super talented, and she's super friendly. Let's welcome to the show. I just unmuted you.
Oh, shit.
What does that mean?
Stop. Don't tell people I'm super friendly.
All right. Well, there
she
is. They
might get the wrong idea.
There's Rachel D.
Oh, shit.
Rachel D.
Doug, I just love that you have 10 grand as your, like, what was it? The emergency fund.
That was my emergency fund.
Yeah, my emergency fund is the change in the bottom of my purse. Like,
that's
that
what,
is
well, I, look,
legit
look,
my that's emergency
where I,
fund.
And that's where I sound like an asshole, because I understand there's people that don't have any money. And I'm complaining about $10,000 missing that.
I mean, that's just, yeah, the 10,000 is missing, but the fact that you had it still makes you hotter in LA. Like,
you're
so much more attractive because you actually had $10,000 at some point.
I once had $10,000, but now I don't. So, yeah, if that makes me more attractive, then that's a good story, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. But, it just comes down to, like, I worked so hard, but I really didn't.
No.
Because it was unemployment. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're pretty much like being like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely spent my unemployment on clothes. So
a lot of people spent their unemployment on, like, yeah, clothes or vacations, mm-hmm. or bullshit or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I get that, because there is the urge to being like, wow, look at all this free money we're getting from the government. Whoa.
I know. Yeah.
And then it's like, but I was like the opposite. I was like, wow, this is pandemic money is never going to happen again. Like, in my lifetime. So
I don't know. I think it might happen again.
I think
we're going to be like, you know, going in for pandemic 2, pandemic 3.
Yeah. Let's go. Like, I'm all for that.
Let's go.
Because honestly, if the pandemic happens again, I'd be totally happy just doing this podcast, inviting people over. Even though we're not supposed to be being with people because they have diseases or whatever, monkeypox, COVID, whatever else is next on the horizon. And they're like, don't be with anyone unless you're in your bubble. And I'd be like, well, you know what? The people in my bubble are my podcast guests. And you know what?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I was always changing my bubble. Yeah. I was like, this is my new bubble.
Bubbles are meant to burst.
Oh.
Well, Rachel, thank you for coming to the show. It's good to have you here. This is the Bass Hole Show. How you been? What's going on?
I've been enjoying not working and just doing comedy and like enjoying the summer a lot. I've definitely been enjoying the summer too much though. Like I think like I Just sleeping in until like 2 p.m. and then waking up and like writing. And
that's what summer's for, right?
Going doing a comedy show. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, whatever happened to the lazy days of summer? This is what you're supposed to be doing, right? Like by the pool, sleeping in.
Well, that's the problem with school is it teaches you that summer is not for working, right? Because that's what we do our entire school years is like, you know, like summer's not for working. And then all of a sudden we have to become adults and have to work during the summer, which...
So you are a teacher.
Yeah, that's why I became a teacher, I think. I was just like a teacher as well as a comedian. Yeah, I teach.
Now, do you have that anxiety like that the kids would have, like going back to school, going back to work? Obviously,
always. Yeah, no, I go back to work next week, and I'm not ready for it. I'm definitely not ready for it. The week before school started, I used to start the practice of going to bed early and then like waking up when I had to wake up to get the rhythm of it. And now I don't give a fuck. Like I'm just like, this is my last week. And I've kind of like lost my shit. I've been staying up doing all kinds of crazy shit and not waking up early.
Do you have those anxiety dreams like that, I still have them, like when it's like, oh my God, like my book report is due. I had 3 months to do this and I didn't do it. And all of a sudden, like you have that dream where it's like, this is due tomorrow. And I didn't fucking read the book or do anything.
I don't have those anymore. I used to have dreams where, you know, like you're naked in front of your class.
I never had that.
But when you're the teacher, it's a bit of a different dream.
Yeah, like, that's every student's like, dream, I would imagine.
So gross to me. Every time I talk about being a teacher, like I get so many gross stories from people. They're like, oh, I knew a teacher who fucked her. It's just like, really? Really? Do we all know it? Or is this, I feel like it's just an urban legend because I can't imagine that we all actually.
Well, I think it is an urban legend until like the teacher admits it or gets caught.
Yeah, there's been like two.
And then it becomes a felony.
There's been two in the entire.
Right. Like, once it becomes public knowledge, it becomes a felony. And then they're like, well, you know what? Yeah, like we should have just kept that as a dream or whatever.
It's a thing for me because it's like there are so many other like stories about like men specifically doing whole kinds of bullshit all the time. And it's just like two teachers got caught each once. And now it's like all teachers are pedophiles. And it's just like.
All priests are pedophiles. It's not the teachers, right?
Wait,
it's
what?
Priests are pedophiles. That they get that stigma.
I mean, yeah. Also, I'm not talking to people about being a priest.
There's a lot of pedophiles out there that go under the radar. Is what I'm saying. I believe.
I mean, I hope not.
I hope not either, but look at the world we live in.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
I don't know what I'm talking about, but anyway, it's fine. This already took a turn where it's like uncomfortable.
Yeah. I just want to put it out there. Like I'm not a pedophile.
Yeah.
Like,
we know that.
Check IDs before I date.
Do you? You're literally like, let me see your ID, buddy.
No, pretty much.
Have the machine on hand to make sure it's not a fake and all that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
All right. So, Rachel, you are originally, so you kind of grew up all over, but you grew up in Alaska as a teen. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm a military brat. So I like, I moved all over. I moved all over every 3 years, but I spent two tours in Alaska. So I was in Alaska my first grade through third grade and then most of high school. Yeah.
And how was that? Did you like that?
I liked Alaska. I don't remember much about when I was in first through third grade. I just remember like.
You don't remember much first through third grade?
First through third grade. I remember going to school with a flashlight and then coming home with a flashlight.
Because it's like, it's night all day or something.
It's dark most of the time. And, first through third grade. I mean, who remembers first through third grade that much? Like, really?
Like, well, I remember first grade, like the back of my hand.
Oh, do you? What happened to you in first grade?
Nothing.
Of course, I remember like the back of my hand.
I can remember my first grade teacher's name. That's it. That's about it, probably.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I repeated first grade. I did it twice.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I was okay. So what did they say? I was socially ill-prepared for second grade. And I was like, how retarded do you have to be to not
socially,
be
socially? So like academically, you were fine.
Academically, I was fine, but socially, I was ill-equipped for second grade.
I've never heard that, someone being left back because they're socially inapt to move on.
Yeah. I was that awkward in first grade that
I've never heard that. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. I mean, I've only heard it the one time too.
How do they even like have grounds for that?
I don't know. I think maybe my first grade teacher just really liked me. That's what I want to go with, is that I was just like such a good student and we had such a
good bond.
Was
it a male teacher?
No. It was a Inuit woman, Alaska.
Lesbian.
Who played... Hey now, why do we always have to make it sexual? Like, I don't know. Sometimes education
isn't... You're also in first grade, so what the fuck is wrong?
I know.
We're also drinking. Sorry.
Yeah.
We've had a few before we started this.
I do agree. I think that like where, because I'm 45, like in a month, and I'm still socially retarded. Like I'm still like,
oh, the R
like
word.
Awkward. I'm talking about myself, so it's fine.
Yeah,
it's
that's
fine.
True.
But I'm still like awkward and weird in social situations. So I can't imagine how bad it would be if I wasn't held back in first grade for the same thing. So,
yeah, I mean, that's it's weird because like I've always had that fear of being left back, but it never happened. Like I was not a good student at all. Like I was like creative, but like I found like ways to just get by, I feel like, because like my mind was always like, well, how can I create or do something different or whatever, but there was that fear of always like, what if I do get left back, like what the fuck happens, you know, like, oh my god, there's that stigma to it, like, oh, so-and-so is left back from this grade or whatever, you know, and it's like it's the weird thing of like, you know, you make friends and stuff like that and then they all move on.
I think that's the great thing about it happening in first grade.
Yes, I agree.
Nobody cares.
No one remembers.
Nobody cares.
But if it happens like junior year in high school,
then it's
like
a problem.
Wow, this person's.
Or you become the most popular person in school.
Yeah,
right? Like because you're like,
and you never leave. You never leave.
And you can buy people beer and that shit. Like I was always.
But I feel like they fixed that problem a lot because they just send you to summer school and then they're like, all right, well, you know, it's like they correct whatever you missed. Or
I think they just pass you now. Like that's what I've seen. Like they're just like,
because they don't want they don't want a problem. They don't want like a problem with the parents or whatever. You know what I mean? That's what I would think. I don't know.
No,
I don't know how it works. I'm not a teacher. Obviously,
yeah.
But I should not be a teacher. Yeah. All right. So, growing up in Alaska, that's pretty interesting. And then you, after Alaska, where did you go?
After Alaska, I moved to Arizona. So I did 3 years of high school in Alaska and then I did 1 year of high school in Arizona. And so I went from a straight A student to a straight D student, and those were pity D's.
You know what's like, interesting? And then now you're a teacher.
Yeah.
That's always interesting to me because one of my friends in high school was always flunking math, horrible at math. I'm bad at math too. I was also like, I'm lucky if I get a C minus, D plus in math, algebra, all that shit. And he was like on the same level, and now he's a math teacher. And I'm like, how the fuck does that happen?
I think
like,
that
you
makes
hated
a lot of
math.
Sense.
You were horrible at math. Now you're teaching math.
Yeah.
You were like D level.
I think those are the best teachers, actually.
Really?
Those are the best teachers because like I hated school and my whole goal, like when I teach, is to like not make it that. Like I want to make it fun and like you're learning something, like you're engaged and you want to like learn something. You want to, I don't know, have fun is the most important part for me when I'm teaching.
Well, the best teachers are the most fun, I would say, because. Yeah. Like I remember some of my teachers and like the ones that like put their own spin on it or like, you know, their uniqueness.
Or have empathy. Just have empathy.
Yeah.
Just have empathy for the fact that like everybody's not going to get what you're trying to teach them.
No. And I mean, I would imagine like now, I don't know. Cause like I remember my math teacher was always like so anal about like algebra 2.
Sounds like a math teacher. Oh my God.
Algebra 2.
1 + 1 always equals 2.
I had nightmares of this teacher just from doing, because I was so bad at algebra. And like, and then I was like, why is there a sequel to algebra? Like, was the first one that popular at the box office? Now that we have a sequel?
Mm-hmm,
I was like, no, this should not have been greenlit at all. And I was like, literally, I'm like, what the fuck am I going to use this for? I have no idea. I don't know who is using it, unless you're a scientist or an engineer or what. I don't know. Or you're teaching algebra. You become that teacher that teaches.
I mean, we could really get into this about education. I mean, we really, really could.
We could do a whole
podcast. The fact that, like, the entirety of education is fucking batshit, and we really should be talking about, like, real problems and problem solving.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what I tried to do. And one reason why I was fired from education. Right. Was because I was just like,
well, that's what we're getting to.
Bullshit. Yeah.
So, and, so you are a comedian, and mm-hmm. you are, you know, you would talk about your, you know, your teaching experiences in comedy on stage and stuff. And you were on the popular podcast Kill Tony,
mm-hmm.
and you were on there several times, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you kind of got a following from that on, you know, the podcast, YouTube, internet, whatever. And someone found you, a student found you in the school and reported you to their parents.
Yeah.
And you got fired, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk
yeah.
about that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I was doing Kill Tony for a bit, and Kill Tony, you only have 1 minute. You mm-hmm. have 1 minute to go tell like 1 minute of jokes.
Right.
And then for the most part, they're hoping you fucking suck.
Right.
And so they can make fun of you. And yeah, I did a minute of jokes. I was mostly talking about me being 40 and what that's like. And a student saw me on that podcast and then showed her mom.
Mm.
And
it was a female student.
Yep. I mean, I only taught women. I only.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I only taught ladies.
Got it.
In San Francisco. It was an all-girls school. I'm allowed to say that. I signed a non-disclosure agreement, but I'm allowed to say that it was an all-girls school in San Francisco.
NDAs mean shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've signed a few recently, yeah. And I'm also like, when can I break this? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. What can I say? What can I not say? I can say that it was a very expensive school, and it was an all-girls school in San Francisco. Do the research. But... yeah, I taught there for 10 years.
Mm.
I taught there for 10 years.
And you didn't have tenure at 10 years?
No, because it's...
they didn't have private school.
It's a private school thing. But right. I had... all of my reviews were excellent. And I was one of the best teachers at the school, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, no, I did a minute of comedy on Kill Tony. A parent saw it. Didn't appreciate it. And shared it with several other moms. All of those moms who had nothing else to do but yoga went to the principal and were very upset about it and said that they didn't feel like their children were safe around me.
Safe.
Yeah, I was fired. I was fired for one joke on Kill Tony.
What was the joke? You don't want to say it. Our listeners don't judge. Trust me.
So, I mean, yeah. The joke was, you know, like I'm 40, you know, and when you're 40, you're horny all the time. It's like I have an 18-year-old boy inside me. Okay. Like legit, like there are so many thanks for the claps. I appreciate that. Yeah. There are so many women who really understand. It's very much like a you turn 40 thing for women. They're like your body is just like this, like the death rasps of possible procreation. Like you become so fucking horny when you're 40, and it really did feel like I had an 18-year-old boy inside me. Like I wanted an 18-year-old boy inside me.
Right. So that's the joke that got you fired.
Yeah.
Right.
And So
what happens after this? You get fired from the job and now you're unemployed.
So I didn't think it was fair.
No.
It was something I was doing on my own time, and it didn't have anything to do with teaching. And you know, an attorney who was popping off really hard because he was he won all of these claims against Facebook for sexual harassment. I don't know if that's about like what, like, oh my God, like 8-10 years ago. But this attorney was winning all these cases against Facebook for sexual harassment.
Okay.
And a friend of a friend told him my case, and he was like, I'm on it. Like, no problem. Mm. He's like, this is ridiculous.
That's like kind of an attorney's dream case, you would think of.
Yeah, he was just like, let's go. So we had a talk, and he wrote them a letter. And he was just like, hey, I am down to represent this person pro bono.
Right.
And you know who I am. If you are just going to fire her outright, which is your right, her right is to also go to the press.
Yeah.
And
press
tell
is powerful.
Her story. And that's when they were like, okay, how about we pay you not to tell your story?
Give me a payout.
Yeah. So I signed a non-disclosure agreement, and the non-disclosure agreement was basically not say how much they gave me and not say the name of the school.
Right.
Which I have never done.
There you go.
Now, so, does this forever, this NDA? That probably, right?
No, it's not forever. Actually, I think it ends in, let's see, it's been, I think it.
Will you disclose that information when it's over?
Oh, hell yeah. I have dreams.
Yeah.
I have dreams of like screaming the name of the school on like a Netflix special. But
you should do your special at that school.
But honestly, I legit think that everything happens for you, not to you.
Totally. Yeah.
And after that happened, I was just like, you know what? That's fine. Like, maybe I'm done teaching full time.
Well, it was a sign. Yeah. I mean, like,
yeah, I moved to LA.
Moved to LA. You're killing it at stand up now. You're touring all over the Southern California area. Yeah. But you are still teaching.
Because I gotta pay the bills. Yeah, the comedy's only paying the grocery bills right now.
Well, so this new teaching job that you have is very interesting. I've been wanting to talk to you about this because you mentioned it to me. I don't know how much we can get into it or whatnot, but you now teach at a an all girls Hasidic Orthodox Jewish school. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that must be very different from your past teaching job, I'm imagining.
I mean, it gives me a lot of PTSD in a way because I'm like constantly teaching at like super religious schools that I struggle with. But this one's great because they don't believe in the internet. So I don't know how they're going to find me and fire me for
they won't
my
be listening
jokes.
To this at all.
I mean, maybe this.
I don't want to get you fired again.
I'm just saying, maybe this podcast will blow up so much.
Oh my God. Then I'm going to have such a guilty conscience.
Even the Orthodox Jews will be like,
if I get
yo,
you fired from you talking about this, then I don't know. I don't know what we're going
to
do. But
I mean, I would just add it to my track record. I mean,
oh my God. I would feel so bad.
You wouldn't feel bad. You wouldn't feel bad at all.
No, I would.
Like,
no, I would.
Promoting it. You'd be like, look what my podcast.
Well, look, if it blows up, then we
Kill Tony loved that I got fired for doing their show.
I mean, I secretly would too, because you know, I mean, obviously the ratings would be great for the show, and
there
then it can add to both of our careers in a way.
Just getting people fired.
No, I haven't gotten anyone fired yet.
No, I mean, okay, yeah, no, I was substitute teaching forever. I was substitute teaching. And
but that's not steady. Right?
It's not steady at all. You never know when you have to wake up at the fucking crack.
And they're sending you to, I mean, we live in LA, so like they're sending you to some rough gigs, I'd imagine.
But I mean, it's all babysitting. Like legit, like I would just walk into the classroom. I was like, look, I don't want to get you in trouble. You don't want to get me in trouble. Let's just agree to like not murder each other. And I'm cool with you being on your phone. And it was fine.
Do you feel like you have more of a purpose with this steady Orthodox Jewish school as opposed to just regular subbing? I mean,
here's the deal. The Orthodox Jewish community has a specific way of living their life.
Right.
That I am choosing not to judge. It is very antithetical to the way I choose to live my life.
Right.
And the way that the girls are raised is difficult for me to navigate.
Right.
So, at the end of the day... these girls honestly don't have a choice. Like they're living in a bubble. They don't have a choice. They don't know any different. And in comes this shiksa that is having to teach them. And so honestly, all I do is I try my best to help them have the ability to think critically.
Right. It's interesting because, I mean, I'm not Jewish. You're not Jewish.
Nope.
So it is interesting to me that a Hasidic Jewish school would hire.
They can't hire anybody else. There's right. no one else to teach this, do this job, because you can't be an Orthodox Jewish person and have a master's degree in English.
Right.
You can't, because like the majority of literature is censored.
But there's no religion being taught, obviously.
No, I don't right. teach a religion. They do religion.
So they have a separate class.
They have religion, blah, blah, blah.
So but, this is purely academic, mm-hmm. You know, coming from English point of view.
Read a story, write an essay right. kind of thing.
Right.
Critical. But all I want is them.
And the students are not like, they're not great. I mean, as far as wanting to be there. I mean, this is all girls Hasidic Jewish school.
Yeah. No, I mean, they have other goals for themselves.
And their goals are to marry.
And have babies.
And have babies. And that's it.
So
so they don't have a career goal.
For the most part. For the most part, they don't have a career.
So are they are they just like, why am I here? What am I learning? Like they have an idea of what their life is going to be, right?
Mostly they're super challenging. Yeah. They scream and they yell and they stand on chairs. And I've had students stand on chairs and just scream and yell. I've had another student like try and flood the classroom with the water fountain and then gaslight me.
Water fountain. Jeez, these water fountains must have evolved. Jeez, I remember drinking at a water fountain in high school and barely, the water wouldn't even come out of it. You would literally just like suck on the thing to try to get like a sip. Remember that? Dude, I don't know.
I'm just coming in trying to, I mean, at the end of the day, all I'm saying is, okay, so I have to dress like
Oh, you have specific wardrobe.
I have to pretend.
You have to cover up.
I am an Orthodox Jew when I go to work. So buy a uniform. I had to buy clothes just to teach, just to interview there.
So this uniform covers up
everything. Like, yeah, I don't have to wear a wig because I'm not Jewish.
Because you're not Orthodox.
I'm not married.
Right.
But you have to cover your collarbone.
Mm. Oh, that collarbone.
Yeah,
oh,
I know. You don't want to give the rabbi a boner.
Dude, if I had a time, every time I saw a collarbone that turned me on, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah. And
that's my favorite body part.
You can't, as a woman, you can't wear pants,
mm-hmm.
Which I get because like it's confusing. like if you're wearing pants, maybe she's got a dick. But
I'm sorry. Did Rachel come in with a dick this morning?
I know. She had pants on. I don't know.
Let's investigate. Open up a claim. Yeah. Let's see.
And you have to wear a skirt, but you can't show your ankles at all. You can't show your ankles. You know, it's like, that's cool. Last time I showed my ankles, I got pregnant.
Ankles and collarbones. Watch out.
No collarbones, no ankles. So I'm in turtlenecks and skirts down to my ankles in Burbank when it's like 110
out.
Oh,
man. But, that's awful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you get the summers off. And you're probably learning a lot about a culture that you may
I'm
not.
I'm trying. That you yeah. may not. I do think it's interesting. It's fascinating. It's interesting to see children that have grown up, that are growing up in a bubble where they aren't privy to, like they don't go on the internet. There's no social media. There's no movies. There's no TV shows. Like, only thing that they consume are other Orthodox Jewish programs.
Right.
And what does that look like? For the most part, it looks crazy to me. Like, they're just losing their shit. But but honestly, like I have to say, like, I had to take the job because no one's ever paid me so much not to show my tits.
Well, look, it sounds like a very steady job, which is great. Mm-hmm. And you said the hours are not bad for what it is.
Yeah, it's 12 to 4, so I can still do comedy.
Right, and that's important. I mean, look, as a stand-up comic, unless you're, you know, famous or whatever, or, like, you know, you're not, you know, you still have a day job while you do your gigs at night, and, you know, it pays your bills, and obviously that's important to everyone. So when will you be converting?
You know, whenever.
Have they asked you to?
Nobody's ever, I haven't had that experience yet, but I mean, from what I've seen, like, women in that religion are very well taken care of. So I'm like, I'm open to it.
Wow.
Women in that religion are very well taken care of.
Right. I mean, would if that was an option, would you consider it? Seriously.
I mean,
No.
I mean, I'm considering it right now, so possibly.
Well, we can arrange that, maybe. Yeah. They do have arranged marriages in this situation.
As long as I don't have to actually shave my head. Like, I'm down with a dope-ass wig.
Yeah.
Like, their wigs are so much better than any hair I've ever grown on my head.
You know, the good thing about wigs is you could change it up. You could be a redhead. You could be a blonde, a brunette.
Yeah, I've done that. I mean, I did that all my life.
Then you start role-playing. You're like, no, I'm this person today.
Watch out. Call me dirty. Call me a dirty nurse.
And then they fire you. Well, that is fascinating. I mean, I think there could be a whole TV show for you as a comedian.
I know. I was thinking it was like Sister Act in a way.
It is.
Like, they don't know who they hired.
They don't know.
They don't know who they hired.
You're like, what is the Sister Act plot? Like, she's like wanted by the federal witness or something like that.
Yeah, she's a witness for the FBI, but she's like, she has information on a gang. Like,
yeah.
When I have information on a well-respected community that doesn't break the laws, I don't know how.
I would watch that. I mean, that seems like a no-brainer Netflix green light for me. I don't know. What do I know? But I mean, I would watch that shit. Yeah, fuck it. People are interested in that world. They really are. Like, there's been a couple of Netflix shows that like dabble in that community and.
Yeah, the unorthodox.
They've been popular. They've been unorthodox. I watched on Netflix. That was fascinating.
If you watch unorthodox on Netflix, that's basically what I do for 4 hours every day.
And this would be like the comedic version of it.
it's me, yeah, just sitting back being like, oh. Okay.
I mean, you might have the whole Orthodox Jewish mafia, if there's one that exists, I don't know, after you at some point. But you know what? That's a problem to have. In the reign of success, I would say.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, they can't track me because they don't believe in the internet. So
they might get it just to find you. Well, that is fascinating. I could talk all day about that. But let's also talk about you. You know, you're obviously a comedian. You're also an actress, though.
Yep. Yeah. I've been doing that longer than I've been doing comedy, actually.
What made you make the switch to comedy, stand-up?
Oh, so the last thing I did was burlesque. Mm-hmm. And my favorite thing about doing burlesque was making people laugh. And I was like,
People laugh at burlesque?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. There's some funny fucking burlesque.
There is. I actually, I'm thinking about that now because it's like I do videography part time and I've shot some burlesque shows. And
yeah. You do videography part time. Like, I just go to burlesque shows and film it, but I'm calling
it. I film it on my iPhone and then I download it, jerk off to it later. No, I'm kidding. No, I've gotten paid lots of money to do burlesque. I have a reel. I'll send it to you. But like the thing about burlesque is like, you know, the performers come up with themes or I shot one two weeks ago and like someone was doing like Little Mermaid and like they came out with like a mermaid fin and danced to Under the Sea, like a different version of it, a sexy version of Under the Sea or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was like a whole thing and, you know, yeah. They threw sand at the audience or whatever.
Now you can't see me.
Now you can't see and you got it in your mouth. But it is like everyone has a theme and like they take it to like, you know, a level 10 and it is pretty interesting. And like,
yeah, I think, creative. I mean, for the most part, like burlesque at one level can just be sexy, but then on several levels, like there's like social commentary, blah, blah, blah. Like I really liked it a lot for that. Mm-hmm. Like I did like Hot for Teacher.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, the song Hot for Teacher.
Van Halen.
Yeah, yeah. But I like came out with like glasses and like the ponytail and like the
every guy's fantasy.
Pencil skirt, and I was like looked super nerdy, and then I like had a box of confiscated goods and I like took a swig of vodka and like found some
confiscated
like,
goods.
Yeah, it said like confiscated goods, but it was all glittery.
I would, you know what would be interesting is to like take a teacher like when I grew up in high school in the '90s. Teachers confiscated box of goods from the '90s to 2022.
Yeah, now it's just vapes.
Now it's like vapes, iPhones.
Just vapes.
Like what was it? 90,
we don't even take 90, iPhones 96. Anymore. You're like, not even allowed to take.
Like what was
iPhone?
It? 96. Like
96. It was just like a joint.
Like, I don't even think a joint. It would just be like cigarette. I mean, because that was hard. I mean, where I grew up, it was hard to find that shit. Cigarette.
I don't know. Alaska. Everybody was smoking weed. Wasn't like a thing.
Well, but it's like the last frontier.
Yeah, we were cool out there.
You were cool out there.
So cool.
I grew up in New Jersey where I definitely could have gotten it probably, but I would have had to go into like Patterson and risk getting shot.
Smoking oregano in your backyard.
Yeah, it was like someone showed up and it was like, this shit is great. And it was literally like, this tastes like my pizza from fucking Domino's. No, it's legit. I swear.
No.
All right.
Yeah. No, but I did burlesque. Yeah, I did burlesque for a couple of years, and I just really liked how much I was making people laugh, and I was just like, I could probably do this without taking my clothes off.
Yeah. So then you transitioned to stand up.
So then I started doing stand up and talking about teaching mostly. And then I realized I was doing it kind of old because I started doing stand up when I was like 38 and everybody that was around me was like babies and kiddos. And so I just started talking about what it's like to be 38, 40, 40, like, you know, different experiences for being like a single person when you're 40.
Well, I started stand up at like 35. So it's like, yeah, it's like you have kind of a different.
Look, you live life. You have things to say.
Yeah. Well, I started, I dabbled in it when I was like 21, when I first moved out here, but then I was like, I did it for like 5 months or whatever. And then I was like, I don't really have anything to say. I don't know what to say. I haven't lived. I don't know who I am, you know? But then when you are like, you know, 35, 38, whatever, it's like, you do have more of a grasp on life or what you've lived, or, you know, you're smarter in different ways, I think, you know,
rather than just, in some ways I feel like I'm exactly the same. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But you're also a Shakespearean actress.
Yeah. I did that for a bit too. Yeah.
Yeah. Right out of college?
No, not right out of college.
Did you study acting in college?
Yeah. I studied acting in college, undergrad. And then, I started doing Shakespeare. I was doing Shakespeare all along, and then I took a couple of years off from teaching, and then I was doing Shakespeare professionally with Shakespeare and Company in Massachusetts. I did a couple of actors intensives and then was doing shows with them and shows in San Francisco. Yeah, I thought that was the thing I was going to do.
You were going to be like a
Shakespearean actress. I was so fucking into it.
See, right? I always hated doing Shakespeare. We did that in high school, and I was always like, oh my God, can't we do something more mainstream?
That's the thing. Like, for me, I think like Shakespeare is mainstream. Like, I think that people have a hard time with the language sometimes, but.
Sure. I had a hard time with the language. I was like, I can't fucking pay attention to this shit.
Yeah. I feel like. It's just the way that it's presented.
Yeah.
Because
a good production, a good director, I think.
Good actors, though, too.
Yeah, like, for
sure. If you are saying those words the way they need to be said, like, I really think that they hit home.
All right. Here's a... here, since you're this quite the thespian when it comes to Shakespeare, here's a... Okay. I'm going to give you a Shakespeare quote, and let me see if you know the play that it's from. Hell is empty and the devils are here.
Hell is empty and the devils are here. Oh, that sounds like Macbeth.
No.
It's not.
It's wrong. I'm sorry. It's the Tempest.
Oh, I love the Tempest. The Tempest is fun. The Tempest is all about a virgin.
Well, you don't know it that well, to be honest.
Shows up on an island and is sold by her father.
I'm sorry, isn't that Fuckboy Island? Is that what that is?
Oh. Yeah, I really...
Fuckboy Island is the reboot of The Tempest?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, let's do one more.
Oh, just one more? I don't even get three?
We can do three. Like one. All right, we'll do three just to see. Okay. Some of these are fucking... I'm not doing a monologue here. All right. Lord, what fools these mortals might be.
Is that Midsummer Night's Dream?
That is correct.
Yay!
Very good, very good, very good. All right, we will do one more. Let's do this. I don't know if I should give you a harder one or an easier one.
I guess that depends on how much you like me.
All right, this is an easier, well-known play, but the quote might be misleading. Wisely and slow, they stumble that run fast.
Oh, I mean, that is very good advice. And advice, wisely and slow, they stumble that go fast.
Run fast.
I always feel like the one that gives the most advice is Hamlet.
I'm sorry, that's wrong.
No! What is it?
It's Romeo and Juliet.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
the play that we all should know, but clearly don't.
Oh, that's no. He does give the best advice. If you look at his advice, he gives the best advice, and that's the thing when you give advice to kids. They're never going to take it.
They're never going to take it.
Someone asked me recently, like, if you could go back and give your, like, college self advice, what would you say? And I was like, absolutely nothing.
Like, yeah, I don't know what I would tell myself.
You know everything.
I would say leave college 2 years earlier and get your shit together. But that's
But you wouldn't have listened to you.
No, I wouldn't.
Absolutely no
I
way.
I wanted to listen to myself, but I listened to my parents instead. They were like, go to college. And I was like, I don't want to. All right, look. We're going to play a clip. You have a stand-up special that is on YouTube currently from the Comedy Cube. And we are going to play a snippet of it just so everyone can hear some of your comedy from your comedy special.
I'm going to not listen.
You're not going to listen? All right. That's fine. Hopefully the listeners will listen. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. All right. Let's play this. Let me see if I can do this. Here we go.
Oh my God, I haven't heard applause like that since I was fired from my teaching job. Guys, it's a some applause. It's a good story too, and I will tell it to you if you're good, all right? I never liked telling anybody, especially guys, that I was a teacher because they would get all creepy about it. Like, oh, did you ever like want to sleep with one of your kids? Like, no, guys, that's gross. Like, kids don't even have jobs, so. I was with a guy in bed, and he was like, I think it's so hot how you're a teacher. Like, can you, like, be a sexy teacher and treat me like a bad boy? I was like, yeah, sure. I called his mom. I just don't have the patience for that shit anymore. I just turned 44, guys. Thank you. Thank you. I don't usually get that result when I announce my age in LA. Usually it's ew.
All right. All right. Rachel D, everyone. Yay. Rachel D. You can check out the full special on YouTube on the Comedy Cube channel. Is that right? Or on your YouTube channel?
No, I mean, you can just type in like Rachel D.
Rachel D. Comedy. Yeah. Check it out. It's great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That was very emphatic.
Check it out. It's great. It is great. I mean, the production is amazing. And like, obviously you're
that's how you know you're funny when someone tells you the production
is
amazing.
No, but this is like, this is your,
this is me being an asshole right now.
You are being an asshole. All right. I'm just trying. Look, you know, don't fucking watch it. Don't watch it at all. It's horrible. No, that's me being an asshole. No, it's great. I mean, this is your like, you know, one of your regular set that you would do, right?
Yeah. I'm writing a lot of new stuff lately.
Right. You have a lot of new stuff that is not included in the special.
Definitely
so
not.
Go see her live as well.
Yeah. We're talking about a lot of other shit. That's
a lot of other
on.
Shit. Yeah. But this is like your core stuff that you obviously been working on for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's stuff you always go back to because, you know, it's who
it's
you
funny.
Are. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's who
it
you
is who
are.
I am. Yeah.
I'm like,
it's who I am. Yeah. Right, dealing with being 45 right now.
Well, look, this is the I'm a Basshole show. And this is where guests do come on and they talk about a time in their life that they were an a-hole. Whether it be a chunk of time in their life prior, maybe they're currently an asshole dealing with some things. Maybe they've done some asshole moves or whatever. So we always ask our guests, like, what was the time that you were an asshole? And this is your time to share that moment with us. So be an asshole.
I know, but I always feel like I'm like, I need a definition. Like, I really do need, like, what does it mean to be an asshole? For you, like, because I feel like everybody's got like a different definition of like what it means to be an asshole. Like, I mean,
do you want me to look up asshole definition?
No, that's actually not what I want.
All right.
I want,
what do you need?
You, as the podcast extraordinaire host of the Asshole Show.
Yes.
What does it mean to be
what
an asshole?
What can I do for you?
Yeah, please tell me. Well, I want to serve you, but you
thank
have to
you,
tell
yes.
me.
I would say it's something in an experience in your life that you are not so proud of.
Okay.
that you immediately...
So the majority of my life, cool.
Okay, it could be your whole life, which will give us another hour. It could be something that you did that you immediately when you were done, that you were like, man, what the fuck was wrong with me? Like, why did I do that? Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't realize it at that moment, maybe you realized it a year later, maybe you realized it yesterday. It's some move that you did or some, you know, event or story that you're like, fuck, that was really awful of me to do to this person or act this way in front of people or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. you feel a little bit bad about yourself. It could be very funny. And we all have been there. We've all done that. But that's part of growing, you know, as a person, you know, and it's acknowledging it and singling it out where you're like, that was fucked up. That, like, I shouldn't have done that. Or, you know, maybe I was like, no, I deserve to do that. That person deserved that. It's still an asshole move, but fuck it. They deserved it.
Okay. Okay. So I would say, most of the time where I am an asshole, I feel like it's deserved. The one time I think that it was like definitely not deserved and I was such a fucking asshole. I showed up for a comedy show and it was at a dive bar.
Okay.
And like a super dive bar, like just like a shithole of a place. Right. And I was supposed to be, headlining,
right.
you know, which is mostly like just going last and doing a couple extra minutes. No one's paying you to do that shit. Okay. So I show up at the bar and the bouncer asked for my ID and I couldn't find my ID. Like it wasn't in my bag. And then I went in my car and I couldn't find it in my car. And then I came back and I was like, I don't have my fucking ID. But I swear to God, I'm 44 years old. Like, dude, just let me into the fucking bar.
Right,
he was just like, no, man, I can't. Bar policy. Like, yeah. I can't let you in. I have to. And it was during like a COVID shit where you have to like, you know, sign
your
like,
life away.
Yeah, yeah. And like prove your vaccination, all that shit. It's like, I had proof of my vaccination, but I had proof of my age.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I can't let you into the bar. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Like, this is ridiculous. You
drove all this way.
I did. It was like Santa Monica.
So oh
it was
my like God.
I know. It was like a whole 30 minutes. I was very, you know, and I was just
if
like,
anyone doesn't know LA, coming from Hollywood or anywhere else in LA to go to Santa Monica is like a treat. It's a treat or it's a nightmare.
Poor bouncer, because I was livid. Yeah. I was just like, do you know, I'm headlining.
Do you know who I am?
I'm headlining this show right now.
Right. And he's like, there's a show?
He was just like, he didn't care.
He didn't give a shit.
And then I asked to talk to his manager.
Oh. He's like, I am the manager.
No. He was like, the manager is at the bar right now. Yeah, I think that was probably, I mean, I try very hard not to live my life like an asshole. But that was definitely one of the times where.
Well, yeah, you're
was
very, like you're a very nice person.
There
yeah,
was legit yeah. like no call for me to.
But I get it. You're frustrated. You drove all that way. You misplaced your ID.
See, even that is just like
you're clearly not, you know, you're not 18 trying to sneak into a bar.
But even that's not even being an asshole. Like I did that a ton, but I feel like that's understandable too. Right. Like just being 18.
It is weird because it's like I work at the Hollywood Improv part time, and it's like we still have to check IDs, and there's always a time where like there's a guy that's like 68 coming into the show, gray, wrinkled. Has a cane, whatever. And I'm like, can I see your ID? And he's like, I don't have it. And it's like, you know, it's like,
do you let them in or do you?
I do. Cause I'm okay, like, this yeah, guy is yeah, fucking like, funny. He's like my father's age. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? He's clearly not trying to sneak into some comedy show to get drink. You know what I mean? It's like,
if this
guy is pulling off a mask and he's like Tom Cruise Mission Impossible or something like, and he's like fucking, you know, 17, then hats off to him, but like I don't think that's happening.
Yeah,
but it is kind of weird where it's like, oh, it's the rule, and it's like, I don't know. It's stupid.
Just, like,
it's stupid.
Yeah, running into people that are just like so intense on following the rules when it's like obvious. That,
that is weird because it's like when you are employed as like a bouncer or like you know whatever a door guy or whatever. some people take that responsibility very seriously.
And I appreciate that.
And I do appreciate that.
I totally appreciate that.
But it's like it's built for like the, you know, the 20-year-old girl that might be 21. She might be 20. And we don't know. You know what I mean? So, yeah, let me see your ID. And
also, I'm flattered. I'm flattered that like you wouldn't let me into the bar.
Well, yeah, there is that thing where it's like, oh, you're asking my ID. Clearly, I'm 40. You know, it's like I don't really, you know.
No, he knew. He knew. Yeah, it was just. It was. Yeah. No, but the fact
and
that
you're
I,
on the show.
The fact that I threw a fit and said I'm headlining. Don't you know who I am at a dive bar in the middle of nowhere? That's probably like the most asshole
that was your diva
I've
moment.
Been
that was your
in
diva
my
moment.
Entire life.
Right. You were a diva in the moment. You're headlining the show. Mm-hmm. They asked you to come do it, and you fucking forgot your ID. So, like, they should be kissing your ass in a way. But not that you need that, but...
Yeah, no, nobody should be kissing my ass. Seriously.
But it's like, let me in, man.
Yeah.
Like, you almost got to go to the showrunner and be like, dude, I forgot my ID. Do you want me to do the show or not? Like, I don't have it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they finally let me in, but the bartender
hated you the rest of the night.
The whole night. I fucking hated
But that's that bartender that's worked there for 30 years. And that's his.
But I was also, I was like that. Now I was like that white lady that was like, don't you know who I am? I was like, wow.
You're like, I'm Karen.
I know. I had my Karen moment. I'm over it now. It will never happen again.
Well, you just got to remember to bring your ID. That's it.
I just, yeah. I think everybody just fucking be good to each other.
Is that it? That's your biggest asshole moment that you fucking threw a fit getting into a bar?
I think there's more,
but I don't know if you want to reveal it.
I mean, okay. Well, you know me. All right.
I do.
Call me out. Tell me something that maybe I don't know.
Oh, like, I don't think I've known you that long.
But. It was another time where I was an asshole. And I think a lot of times we're assholes and we don't know that we were assholes.
Do you get jealous often?
Do I get jealous? Like, of what? Like, people? Anything.
People, situations, social norms or whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do. I'm always like, why isn't it me? Why am I not?
So this is kind of an attention thing almost.
But it's an, like, what's
you crave like some sort of attention. But so like the
I'm
fact
I'm a stand-up comedian.
No, I get it. Yeah. I get it. But like the fact that you went to that bar and they were like, you don't know who I am. I'm headlining the show. God damn it. You know, like, and like, let me in. I don't have my ID. Mm-hmm. That might go back to like, an attention thing. Like, you should know that it's me on the fucking flyer. Look at the poster if my photo's up there or whatever. I don't know what else you would relate it to. Not that that's a problem. I'm just saying, look, we all have those moments. We all have, especially as comics, actors, whatever. Like, we're all like very needy people when it comes down to it, you know? So it's almost like, yeah, I do want recognition because I've been working this hard at this and that. And like, if you don't fucking recognize me from this, you know, fuck you, you know, almost.
Yeah, and it's for the most part, I don't even get like that. I just get like I need to work harder and sad. But like,
I mean, I'm the opposite where it's like I should be like more like, yeah, I'm fucking killing myself. Like, why don't you recognize my podcast or the comedy or like the fucking short film I did or whatever? But I'm always like, oh, I made this thing. If you want to look at it. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe
I don't want to, I know you're busy. I don't want you to waste your time, you know? Maybe. And I'm almost like shy about it where I'm like, look, I know I don't listen to it. It's not that good. You know, like,
what are you doing, Doug?
I don't know, but I should be more of an asshole where I'm like, I think I should be throwing more shit in people's faces where I'm like, no, fucking listen to this or watch this or like, come see me perform. Like, this is good. This is fucking good. And if you don't realize it or don't have the time for it, like, and then fuck you, you know?
So I don't know if that's
but there's
being
a lot of comedians.
If that's just being confident.
It's confidence. That's the thing. It's like being a confident asshole. There's a fine line. I think
that there's a difference between being confident and then being a confident woman. So if you're just a confident, if you're a confident dude, you're just confident. But if you're a confident woman, you're a bitch. So like there's
right. But if you're a confident dude, people may be like, that guy's an asshole. He's a douche or whatever. You know what I mean? But then there's some women that are like, oh no, that's cool. That's
sexy. If you don't have your dick out while you're being confident,
well, then that's a fucking sexual offense at the end of the
day. Yeah.
Then you're getting me too'd for rape or whatever. Now, if you were confident and you had your boobs out, then they'd be like, oh, yeah, come in. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I am usually. yeah, we switched the camera. You missed it.
Oh wait, all right, there you go. There you go. All right. I know. I need to lower the camera a notch to be able to catch all that.
If you're watching
this on YouTube, Rachel is not exposing herself, but she's showing you know what she
boob area.
What she's working with, I guess. I don't even know if that's appropriate to say.
I'm proud of it. I'm 45 years old. I work my ass off. So I am proud of what I am bringing to the stage, you know?
That's good.
Verbally and otherwise.
So what's the next on the agenda as far as what do you see yourself doing in the next year or two?
The next year or two. Hopefully just continuing to do more stand up.
Mm-hmm.
That's it really. Like the next year, I just want to do bigger clubs, get paid more regularly and, be funnier. Like that's about it. Like, I should have bigger goals for myself.
No, I mean, look, if you're content and happy with doing that, then so be it.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself writing, something like this, Jewish Orthodox, school pilot or movie idea?
I'm keeping a journal. I keep a journal. I write down everything that happens every day. And I definitely think that it would be a hilarious show.
I think it would be great for you. I think that's something that could take you to the next level. If you really wrote the script and tailored it and pitched it to some places, I think,
fish out of water comedian in this Orthodox Jewish school. Like, I don't understand anything.
I want you to write that. I think you should write that for yourself.
Yeah. All right.
And then we could try to get it to some places.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. I think that would be good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's hilarious. Every single day is hilarious to me. I'm just like, I have no fucking clue what's going on. And then the girls are explaining all of
this. Make that a goal for yourself this year. 2023, you're going to write a rough draft of this untitled Rachel D. Orthodox Jewish School Teacher Comedy. That's what you're going to call it for now until you figure out
an appropriate words. Name.
It is. Yeah. But you know what? You put that on a page. Someone reads that like, wow, this is interesting, you know? It's the kind of thing where I think people find it interesting. People find the subject interesting and then throw in the female comedian element to it. It's something that we haven't seen yet. Mm. And that's what you got to think about, I think, because it's like there's all these streaming shows and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, everyone has a pilot idea or movie or whatever. But it literally is like, it's like, what hasn't been done yet, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's like literally Bad Teacher, which was that movie with Cameron Diaz, with you as a comedian in an Orthodox all-girl Jew school. And
I'm actually trying to be a good teacher.
You're trying to be a good teacher.
Legit, I'm actually a good teacher, but I don't know how to be a good teacher.
Yeah.
To this group of students.
And it's like the Orthodox community loves you and they're trying to figure out the balance or whatever, mm-hmm. They invite you over for
They invite me to stuff and I'm just like, I don't know how to behave.
Did they invite you over for a Seder or something like that?
No, they've invited me to.
That's one of the episodes. Yeah, you're going to the Seder not knowing what to do.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
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 And I just try and dress appropriately. Right. Like that's as far as I've gotten.
And everything goes wrong. I mean, who wouldn't watch that? Who would not watch that? People are watching that unorthodox show, which is a drama about
it
the real.
It's terrifying and sad.
Right. Yeah. So this is an element of that, but also with a comedic element. You know?
And I think, honestly, I think that's a good idea because I think it might help people understand a different culture. Like, I don't, I'm not judging this culture. I just don't understand it.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it besides when I drive through the Fairfax District or Beverly
every
Boulevard.
Time, no, like and honestly, I was.
I don't know. Yeah.
The only thing I knew was oh wait, you mean those fancy dress ZZ Top looking dudes
right.
with the hats?
The only interaction I've had with the Orthodox Jewish community has been I was walking through Beverly Boulevard once, and an Orthodox Hasidic man came up to me and he said. Excuse me, sir, are you Jewish? And I said, no, I'm not. And he was like, do you mind turning on the electricity and the lights for our, service on Saturday afternoon or whatever? And I was like, yeah, sure. I can do that. And I walked in and literally, hit the switch and I was like, and he was like, thank you. And I was like, no problem. And then I turned it off again. And I just went, boop, boop, boop. How bad do you need me? How bad do you need me?
Yeah, no, and they pay people. They do that.
They pay people?
They pay people.
I did it for free.
Yeah, they pay people to do that.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah.
What could I charge for something like that? If I just hang around that area and then I just turn on people's lights for the Saturday afternoon?
I
That's horrible.
I really want to go up to one of those dudes and just be like, you know, not every girl's crazy about a sharp-dressed Jew. I was like,
what about Halloween at the school? Could you dress up like a,
they don't believe in Halloween.
Oh, Halloween's they don't. Not a thing. I thought there was Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, no, they have their own. They have their own holiday where there's a dress up holiday, and I don't remember. It's Purim, I think. Now I'm learning
Purim. Yeah,
where they dress up, but it's for a completely different reason. And it's in like April.
Mm.
But they don't. No. They don't believe in Halloween.
They don't believe in Halloween.
No.
Yeah. Well. Not everyone does, you know.
Dude, we should have ended on not every girl is crazy about a sharp-dressed Jew.
Not every girl is crazy about a sharp-dressed Jew.
Yeah.
That could be like a rap almost.
Not every girl is crazy about a sharp... I should do a music video.
I wish I had a... I don't have a beat lined up for that, but... There you go.
Not every girl's crazy. Oh, okay. All right. That was painful.
All right. Well,
so guys.
So listen for, we're going to close it up here. make sure you check out Rachel D's new hit single, Not Every Girl's Crazy About a Sharp-Dressed Jew. Coming out on iTunes in the near future.
That's a music video I'm going to have to do, definitely.
You should. Make sure you check out Rachel D on Instagram at Rachel D Comedy. Mm-hmm. Her YouTube special is on her YouTube site and Comedy Cube. What else? She's performing all over Southern California throughout the year. You can check her out at the San Diego Club, Madhouse, often.
Anywhere
in LA.
Yeah, no, hit me up on my DMs.
Hit me up. DM her.
Yeah, DM me, and I'll get you like some tickets or whatever.
Rachel will actually respond to your DMs.
I respond to all DMs.
Slide into her DMs. But be respectful.
No, even like, if you're not respectful, that's fine. I will still respond.
Even if you're not respectful, she will respond. All right.
I can't help myself.
Good to know. Good to know.
I really fucking can't.
You've been warned, but good to know.
I've been told to not, but I fucking can't help myself.
Is there anything else you want to plug?
I have a Venmo. It's also Rachel D Comedy. If you want to get me off of that school teacher life.
Send Rachel D some donations at Rachel D Comedy. Or no, what is it? What is the Venmo?
Yeah, it's Rachel D Comedy.
Rachel D Comedy. Yeah,
everything's Venmo. Rachel D Comedy. Venmo. I'm on Twitter.
Send her $1,000. Someone send her $1,000. Someone listening in the Midwest or there's a couple countries that listen Midwest. To us.
What? You don't have to be in the Midwest. You can just send
anyone. Anyone who has money that clearly has nothing to do with
Even send me $1,000 and tell me how to spend it.
Yeah.
I'll post pictures.
She'll post for you. She'll post what she buys with your $1,000. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do it. It'll be an investment worthwhile that you'll never see the money returned, but you know what? It'll make Rachel happy and she will probably include it in her comedy
I will.
Set at some point. Mm-hmm. So you might get some recognition at some point. All right. This has been fun. Thanks for so much for coming in. We really dived into a lot. I feel like there's more asshole stories that we'll get to at some point when we have you back on.
I know. I'm going to have to work on being an asshole.
You got to work on being an
asshole.
That's
what I've learned.
I want you to like fuck me over one day. And it's like, you know, my God, that Rachel
just D. You?
That Rachel D is such an asshole. I can't wait to have her back on the show.
I know.
Just so I can ridicule her.
I have homework.
You got homework to do. Yeah, I'm your teacher now. You have asshole homework to do. Become more of an asshole. But no, in all seriousness, thanks for coming on. It's always good to see you. All right. Guys, don't forget to follow the show, subscribe, all that stuff. And remember, don't be a basshole, but if you are, laugh about it, guys. I'm Doug Bass. We'll see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to I'm a Basshole with Doug Bass. Yay. Follow us on Instagram at Basshole Show. Think you deserve to be on the show? Email us at contact@bassholeshow.com and visit our website at www.bassholeshow.com and get the latest information. Subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast fix, and don't miss the full videos on YouTube. Remember, don't be a basshole, but if you are, laugh about it. We'll see you next time.